Yeah, I'm like Neo now.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
That's Morpheus.
What's going on, everyone? Jurassic Views, Ottawa's Raptors podcast. Well, the Christmas lights are on. Christmas tree lights are on. Got the dishwasher on. And it is just chill in the house. I just watched a half an hour YouTube video of Mr. Beast, not by my choice, but I chose to say yes to my daughter. She wanted to watch that. Really interesting guy, but that's a whole nother conversation, which we won't get into today. But if you have, you know, kids who are not teenagers yet, you may have heard of Mr. Beast before. This podcast is dedicated to one player on the Toronto Raptors. There have been some trade rumors recently that have come up. There has been discussion around whether he should be a starter in the lineup. And the player that we're going to talk about here today is Gary Trent Jr. Now, Gary Trent Jr.'s career started in a place that Zaya Quiena would probably wish I didn't mention, but it started in Duke. That's where he played his college ball. And then he was drafted in 2018 by the Portland Trail Blazers. Had a pretty typical rookie season, kind of similar to Grady Dick, actually. He averaged 7.4 minutes. Most of those came at the end of the season. He only played in 15 games. He averaged 2.7 points a game. He shot 43% from the free throw line in that time. He shot 24% from the three-point line. So from the lines, he was miserable. He shot 38% from twos. It was not really great for his rookie season. Now, this was his rookie season. You may remember 2018-2019. This is the year Portland went to the conference finals. So this was peak Dame in Portland days with CJ McCollum and Nurkic. Yusuf Nurkic. This was when Portland was at their best. I think they had a bit of an easy road to the final. They got swept in that conference final, not the final, the Western Conference final. But that was Gary Trent Jr.'s rookie season. And if you think about what Grady Dick has done so far this year, and he's got some time down the G League, it gives you maybe a picture of how someone can turn their season around. The following season, the year that things halted in early to mid-March with the pandemic, Gary Trent Jr. that season, including the bubble, played 61 games, played 22 minutes, tripled his minutes, quadrupled his games, and then had a field goal percentage of 44%. He shot 48.6% from inside the three-point arc. He shot 41% from beyond the arc and shot 82%. I mean, what a turnaround. He was scored 8.9 points. That's a huge difference from rookie to sophomore season. Again, if we're thinking about Grady Dick, not that this pod is going to focus on Grady Dick, But if we were, we could say, hey, there's this guy we know. His name's Gary. This is what he did in his first two seasons. And you could say, whoa, maybe Grady's got a legitimate chance. Now, in the 2020-2021 season, when the Raptors were in Tampa, of course, that was the year the Toronto Raptors traded Norm Powell, which was a sign of things to come, right? We knew Kyle was going to leave. But it was a sign of things to come because they were not focused on Pascal, OG, and Fred unless they took incredible leaps. They really weren't. They were looking for the next big thing. It seemed like from that Tampa season, they had it in their minds that they were going to make a shift and that they were hoping that one of the picks that they made the next year was going to be someone special and could take them to heights that they had just achieved in 2019. And let's be honest, 2020, those are the best two teams in Raptors history. And it's, you know, we've talked about this many times, but it sucks that, you know, the pandemic happened for many reasons, but for the Raptors specifically, we'll keep superficial on the pod and stay true to what this pod is about. But those are our two peak years in the franchise. 2019, obviously the chip, and 2020. Best two teams that the Raptors have had. But in that year, they decided that they were going to focus on the future. And the trade that they made was for Gary Trent Jr., who was 6 years younger than Norm Powell. And Gary Trent Jr., we knew some things about him, but there was a lot we didn't know about him, and partly because he was playing in the shadow of Dame and CJ McCollum. And of course, with Kyle Lowry on the team and Fred VanVleet, it was going to be hard for Gary to see an expanded role. At least that's what we thought, certainly in that Tampa year. Now, he only played for the Raptors that season. He only played 17 games. Only played 17 games. Started 15. And averaged a career-high 31.8 minutes per game. Even for Portland, he played 30-plus minutes. So impressive that he had such a dramatic series of seasons to go from 7.4 to 21.8 to 31.1 averages for those seasons. Got traded. With Toronto, he averaged 16.2 points a game, a little bit up from the 15 he averaged with the Portland Trailblazers that season. And at the end of that Tampa year, you kind of felt like, well, Kyle's going to leave. Norm Powell's already gone. Why can't Gary start? Fred's the point guard. Gary would be the shooting guard. You got OG Pascal. Hopefully the Raptors get a center. Now, they didn't do that. Precious Achiuwa was not the center answer that they were looking for. And we found out rather quickly that Thad Young also was not the answer. We did end up drafting a center after the 2022 season, but Gary Trent Jr. was a starter. And some of his best basketball was in that 2021-2022 season. We get back to Toronto, of course. Fans loved him. They loved the look. They loved the swagger. He started in 69 of 70 games and averaged 18.3 a game, a career high for Gary Trent Jr. as a starter. He was 41% from the field, a little lower than his numbers when he was playing beside Dame and CJ, which makes sense. Shot the ball pretty well from deep, 38.3% from deep that year. And he shot a career high 85% from the free throw line, getting there three times a game. And after that season, you know, I remember there was a stretch. It was, I think, just before, just after the All-Star game. Fred might have been banged up. We already knew Fred was going to the All-Star game. He had been chosen as reserve. And Gary had a real great cluster of games. Might have been 7, might have been 10. Pascal also started turning it up and tearing it up at that time. And I remember there's a couple pods that we did that really focused around Gary Trent Jr. And I remember at that same time, I wrote an apology letter to Gary and to his father, for heaven's sakes. Now, if I met Gary Trent Sr. in an elevator, just the two of us, I would be very intimidated. The man is jacked, and he can be cold. he just has a look about him that I would be very intimidated by. But Gary Trent Jr. was cold. He had ice in his veins. He was making big time shots at for stretches of that season. Gary Trent Jr. was our clutch shooter over Pascal, over Fred. Again, Fred was not 100% after the All-Star break at all. But when you look at his numbers, his shooting numbers, his scoring numbers, you add to the fact that he had 1.7 steals a game that season, even chipped in with almost 3 rebounds and had 2 assists. And you think, man, this guy at 23 years old is doing what Norm Powell did. Is it possible he could surpass Norm? Certainly if he becomes more of a playmaker, that could be the case. If he becomes more of an elite three-point shooter, continues to keep up his mid-range, and he can average mid to high 80s in the 80 percentile for free throws and get there more, maybe manipulate things a little more, hunt those free throws a little more, become a merchant, as I heard JJ Redick refer to some of the guys in the league who are good at drawing fouls, a merchant of free throws. Again, young guy. Now, last season, he played 66 games. He started in 44. And you can start to see he was being a bit affected by that. Free throws were a little down. Three-point shooting was a little down. His field goal percentage was up. That was because his twos became more efficient. But something seemed off with Gary last season. I think he had a good start, did not finish the season well. Be interesting to see the splits from the first half of the season to the second half. He did have 17.4 points a game. He did not start when Poeltl was on our team. And I know people have talked about those numbers when Poeltl came on and how that affected the team, but also how it affected Gary himself. And then we get to this year, and Poeltl's there, but Fred's gone. We did pick up Dennis Schroeder, but Dennis Schroeder, for most of his, the latter half of his career here, when he played for the Celtics, when he played for the Lakers, he was a reserve. Now, he closed many games, but he was a reserve, and we thought maybe, you know, he continues to lead coming in that six-man role. Maybe he closes games and you have Poeltl on the bench. But they decided no, Dennis Schroeder's going to start. And they said that from the beginning. And they did it in the preseason. And they've continued to do it most of this season. Gary Trent Jr. has played 24 games out of a possible 27. He started 2. His minutes played have gone from 35 minutes in 2022, 32 minutes in 2023. He's averaging 25 minutes a game. His field goal percentage has gone down 4 points since last year to 39%. His two-point field goal percentage inside the arc has dropped 5.5%. And his free throw shooting, the biggest gap between this year and the two previous seasons, and to me, the biggest sign that his confidence, his mental strength, focus, belief has been really, really affected by him going to the bench. And his career, I would say, is right now kind of in question, and it really sucks. I don't know why you would do this. But Gary Trent Jr. is shooting 63% from the line. Now, rebounding-wise, he hasn't done a bad job for a guy who's playing in less minutes, you know, less minutes than last year, just 0.3 less rebounds. His assists are the same as last year, even though he's playing 7 less minutes. He's averaging 10.8 points a game. That's just a little bit higher than his second season. Gary Trent Jr. has really been affected by the changes this year. And it sucks because everyone who's doing analytics on a podcast that is connected to the Toronto Raptors, everyone who's a journalist can see that the guy who's been most affected by the changes of this season, by Darko and Dennis Schroeder, is Gary Trent Jr. And what sucks is that when you look at the team, the starters in particular, when you sub out Dennis or Yak for Gary, his personal numbers go up, but the team also plays better. It's more well-balanced. I would argue that if you're going, and I think I have already this season a few times, if you want Scotty to really grow into, you know, the guy, begin to grow into the guy you want him to become, a Magic Johnson type player, a Scottie Pippen type player, then why is Dennis Schroeder starting? If you want him to be most effective, if you want to see how Gary Trent Jr. is going to, sorry, how Scotty Barnes is going to be the playmaker that he is, then why not surround him with the best shooters on the court? OG Anunoby and Gary Trent Jr. have to be out there. Now, you could argue that they go small ball and go Dennis, Gary, OG, Pascal, and Scotty. But that's a lot to ask Scotty to do at this stage in his career with all the other things offensively you want him to do, to defend the five. That's not easy. We've already seen Pascal can't do that for long stretches. We've seen OG unable to do that for long stretches. So to ask Scotty to do it when you're putting so much responsibility on him in his third year, that's tough. But not to have Gary out there, especially when he was cooking the previous two seasons, just doesn't make any sense to me. And what sucks, and some of the tweets and articles I've seen in the last week or two on Gary is that his trade value has plummeted. I mean, here's a guy you could have sent out with a guy like Precious Achiuwa and Thad Young for Zach LaVine. And let's be honest, Zach LaVine is a much better shooter and player than Gary Trent Jr. He's obviously three or four years older, but he's more talented. And I don't know if Gary would ever get to that level. Zach is very, very good. You know, he's made the All-Star game. I'm not sure if Gary Trent Jr. is ever going to make an All-Star game. But to not give Gary Trent Jr. a chance to show his skills beside Scotty Barnes, to give Scotty Barnes that window, that vision into, you know, what his career is going to look like, to have that excitement, to make it easier on him when he's already being asked to do many stretching, difficult things, it doesn't make any sense to me. We're now through 27 games, and this ask for Gary to be part of the starting lineup, probably for Dennis Schroeder, for most people. Some people have argued Jakob Poeltl. I personally would say, from a starting perspective, put Gary in, and take Dennis out. And that's no knock on Dennis. It's just a balancing thing. I actually, as I've said already on the pod in the last couple of weeks and at the start of the season, Dennis Schroeder would be a better link, a better partnership to Malachi Flynn. And I don't know if Malachi Flynn is going to be a Toronto Raptor next year. Dennis Schroeder will be. And certainly, if Jakob Poeltl was the first guy to be subbed out for a guy like Precious Achiuwa, who you really like, now you probably have a lineup that, you know, probably has the most impact and maybe closes many, many games this season, but certainly and possibly in seasons to come if this lineup stays together, this roster stays together, which, you know, it's 50-50 whether they will. And then you can have Poeltl matched on that pick and roll with Dennis Schroeder, and Schroeder's able to do some fun stuff with cutters like Chris Boucher, and a guy who doesn't have to have the same ball pressure, decision-making pressure as Malachi Flynn. Now you have Malachi Flynn being a spot-up shooter, which, again, he can do pick and rolls, and Yak would be the right guy to do pick and rolls with. So maybe that would be possible. But this episode is about Gary. And if you can read the numbers, it's obvious that he's discouraged. But when you see his face, when you see his body language, Gary Trent Jr. is discouraged. And for a guy who's 25 years old, who's just come off two seasons where he's been a starter for most of those two seasons, where he's averaged 17, 18 points, he's averaged in the mid-80s, 85 and 83% from the free throw line. He's been near 40% from downtown. You question the decision, especially for a young guy. Like Dennis Schroeder's career is not over by any stretch. And he's a really effective guy at the things he does. But his game isn't changing, adapting. It's not growing to be any greater than it is. Who Dennis Schroeder is now is pretty much the kind of guy you're going to see for probably the next 2 to 4 seasons. And then he'll start going down. He's 30 years old. Now he's going to start slowly going down from his prime, right? And by the time he gets to probably 34. You know, he's going to lose some speed. If his three-point shooting doesn't come along, he might not be able to play much longer in the NBA. He's a smaller guy. He, you know, a lot of his game has been on work rate and quickness. So, you know, I scratch my head with this one, as many other fans do. It affects the team negatively. It affects Scotty negatively. It affects Gary specifically, and it affects Gary the most. But I think this team has lost 2, 3, 4 games because we're not playing Gary in the starting role. And I think you might, if you're not careful, lose a really important player on your team from him having belief in the future with this team. And that to me is discouraging as a fan, but it's also discouraging not just from being a Raptors fan, but a fan of Gary, a fan of the game of basketball, a fan of player development, which was, again, something we were told Gary, you know, was going to be part of, and that Darko was going to lead. And Gary's game has not developed at all. Scotty, yes. Grady, to some extent, although, again, when I talked about Gary's rookie year, you can see Grady's going to take some time and he'll be ready to go next year. There's no doubt. But what if you had a lineup with Pascal, Grady, Gary, Scotty? That doesn't seem so bad. And maybe, you know, Yak is in that lineup and maybe OG's there next year, but that would be nice to have, you know, again, two really good shooters still growing into their games and confidence to have beside Scotty. Those are the types of guys that you want. You just can't expect that you're going to be able to find another Gary Trent Jr. who is producing at the level he was for $20 million a year. I don't follow the logic anymore. You know, if Dennis Schroeder continued to do what he did in the first 10 games for the last 27, yeah, we probably win 2, 3, 4 more games. And then you can justify why Gary's on the bench. And you say to Gary, this is your role. We want you to maximize it. We're happy to sign you for an extended period of time. Dennis might only be in the role that he's in for, you know, one more season, or it might just be this season while Scotty's transitioning. But what they've done with Gary, and knowing that they have not produced, they have not got the results they want, they have not been competitive in many games, and they have, you know, found themselves now pretty much out of the play-in. This is really, really poor. When you can't keep up with teams like Brooklyn, Indiana, it's a really bad look. And so I don't know what the answer is now. Have you broken Gary? That would suck. On this team, you know, he's going to rebound fine. He's got resiliency. You know, he's got good pedigree, NBA pedigree with his father having played in the league. But it sucks. You know, this team's joy and strength and individual talents and progression has been sucked out of them, except for Scotty, really, over the course of the last while. Good on Pascal. I mean, this is an all-NBA guy, and he's really fought hard to adapt. But to see now Gary be, you know, for him to have his joy and his talents sucked out of him, drained out of him this season, it really is unfortunate, and I hope it turns around, or I hope they make a deal and get a guy, like I said, you know, Precious or Chris Boucher, but it's probably Precious, Gary, and then probably Thad Young to fill in the salary for a guy like Zach LaVine. You do that, okay, I understand. It sucks, but I understand. Otherwise, let's get this guy in the starting lineup. Let's stop fooling around. Let's get the most out of our group of guys. And at least at the end of the day, allow them to have, you know, more demand interest on the market so that everybody can get paid. All right, y'all. I'm going to hold it there. Hopefully you enjoyed the episode. But more importantly, if you got things to say, please feel free to DM me, whether on Instagram or on Twitter, although I'm not on there that much, but, you know, find me and tell me about your thoughts on Gary Trent and how they've managed him. All right. Enjoy the night. Peace to the Middle East. Peace. I think I don't do dreaming. I'm on your function. I'm on your function.